Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. What a blessing it is that you listen each week to these messages. It's our prayer that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We've been looking at messages. If you've been with us this past few weeks, we've been looking at messages, which I titled the series, God With Us. And we've looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. We read in Daniel 3 that there was a fourth man in the fiery furnace, God with us. We went to Daniel 6 and jumped into the lion's den and found an angel who shut the mouth of the lions. Daniel was untouched, God with us. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we went into the valley of Elah with a shepherd boy named David. We read how he took down the 9-foot giant Goliath with 5 smooth stones and a slingshot, God with us. And last week, we found ourselves in 1 Kings 18 as we climbed up to the top of Mount Carmel as Elijah called down fire from heaven and defeated the 450 prophets of Baal, God with us. As we study and read the stories of the Bible, we're certain to find that no matter what the circumstances are, God with us. Listen, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're walking through, what valleys or mountaintops or lion's dens or fiery furnaces. But what I want to tell you today in our time is God is with us. This past week, we started Lent, and we celebrated Ash Wednesday. We looked at 1 John 4 and found that God is love, and that this love is what sent His one and only Son, Jesus, as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Talk about God with us. I titled the messages that we just covered, and if you haven't listened to them, you can go to the website at www.theseedchristianfellowship, click on the sermons, or you can find them on the radio station here. I've titled the series, Faith in the Fire, Faith in the Lion's Den, Faith in the Valley, Faith on the Mountain. Today we turn to the cross and we begin our journey to Holy Week, Good Friday, Easter, and an empty tomb. God is with us. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Joseph and told him that Mary was pregnant, do you know what the angel said? Listen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 and 23. He will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. During Lent, the 7 Sundays and 40 days leading to Easter, I'd like for us to look at some of the miracles recorded in the Gospels. I tried to pick a few miracles that are recorded by at least 3 of the 4 Gospel writers. Before we come to God's living Word, let us come to the throne of grace in a moment of prayer. Lord God of all grace and mercy, we ask to be renewed, restored, and refreshed by Your grace, by Your love, by Your mercy, and by Your forgiveness. Give us the faith to walk in Your forgiveness. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, and open up our lives to the promises of Emmanuel, God with us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in Mark chapter 2, 1 to 12. It's one of my favorite miracle stories. Let's listen for God's Word. Mark chapter 2, 1 through 12. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, what a great time. We have a man in our church who purchased 1-year Bibles, and he is giving them out, reading the Bible in 1 year. If you want one of those, you can email me at PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Mark chapter 2, 1 through 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, so many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the man and the mat, paralyzed, who was laying on the mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk?' But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This story in Mark is also recorded in Matthew and Luke. In Matthew's account in chapter 9, we find Jesus stepping out of a boat in Capernaum, and we are told that, quote, "Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven.'" Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. Immediately after this healing miracle, Matthew, the author of that gospel, called from his tax collecting booth in Capernaum. In Luke's account in chapter 5, we have the calling of the 12 disciples and the healing of a leper. One big difference that I noticed is when the paralyzed man is healed and picks up his mat to go home, we are told in Luke 5:25, immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Listen, if we could keep reading in Luke, we would read of the call of Matthew to come and follow Jesus too. I have so many questions when I come to this story. I don't know about you. Have you ever wondered what kind of faith the four friends had? Have you ever wondered what kind of faith the paralyzed man had while he was lying on his mat, being jostled all around, up and down the road, and up on the roof, and lowered through the roof? Have you ever wondered how long was he paralyzed? Have you ever wondered why was he paralyzed? How far did these four friends walk? Were the four friends brothers or relatives? How heavy was this paralyzed man? Have you ever tried to carry a person? Have you ever tried to move or lift a person who could not move? Why do you think that all three synoptic, that means similar, gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, record this story? Why is this story important? What does it mean to you to hear that Jesus is concerned for your deepest needs? Let me say that again. What does it mean to you personally to hear that Jesus is concerned for your deepest needs? Can Jesus see your faith? What does faith have to do with it after all? What is faith? The word for faith is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S in Greek, and it means to put your complete trust in someone or something. Faith, in the Greek terminology, means to put complete trust in someone or something. It is used over 400 times in the Bible. The New International Version, which we read today, uses the word faith 465 times. When I typed the word faith into my Bible program, it showed 248,000 results with over 98,000 articles. Ooh. When I went to Google, it showed over 139 million results in a mere 22 seconds. The idea of faith is profound. The basic definition of faith defined by Bible scholars is, quote, "a belief in or a confident attitude toward God involving commitment to His will for one's life." Let me repeat that a little slower. This is the Bible definition or Bible scholars' definition. Faith is a belief in or a confident attitude toward God involving commitment to God's will for one's life. Hebrews 11:1 kind of makes it pretty succinct. Listen to what Hebrews 11:1 says. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." So maybe a good so what question. You know, I always throw out so what question, and they're my application questions. So what does all this mean? Do you have, what do you have faith in? Is your faith, well, maybe I'll ask this, is your faith in your retirement program? Is your faith in your spouse or your child or your best friend? Is your faith in your education? Is your faith in your health? Is your faith in your family? Is your faith in your possessions? Is your faith in, well, your athletic ability or beauty? Exactly who or what do you put your faith in? Faith, complete trust in God. The Bible defines faith this way in Hebrews 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. A friend emailed me a definition of faith as she read one of her devotionals. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Unknown author. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. During World War II, a pharmacist mate, Wheeler E. Lips Jr., performed a life-saving appendectomy on Seaman Darrell Bean Rutner aboard a submarine called the Sea Dragon. Maneuvering behind enemy lines in the Pacific, the closest thing to a doctor on board was the pharmacist mate Lips, a lab technician by training who had witnessed an appendectomy. Facing certain death, if not operated upon, Rector agreed to Lips correcting the situation. Without surgical instruments, Lips used a knife blade for a scalpel, a tea strainer to administer ether, and spoons from the galley to keep the incision open during the surgery. The crude tools were sterilized with alcohol from a torpedo. Surgery was performed in the officers' quarters on September 11, 1942, the first appendectomy aboard a submerged submarine. Rector resumed his responsibility in 13 days. What kind of faith did it take for Seaman Rector to allow a pharmacist mate to operate on him? Better yet, what kind of faith it took for the four friends of the paralyzed man to carry him to Jesus? As always, I want us to enter into the story. Put yourself in the story and put the story in you. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. If you have any prayer concerns, our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. What kind of faith did the four friends have when they carried their friend on a mat to Jesus? The four friends had a relentless faith that was persistent, creative, well, and it was sacrificial. They not only carried their friend to Jesus, but upon finding the crowd around Jesus was too much, they then created a plan to go around the edge of the house, climb the steps up to the roof. Now stop and picture this. Four men carrying a paralyzed man on a mat up a set of stairs. Have you ever tried to carry a couch up a flight of stairs? I have many times, but I have never carried a man on a mat up the stairs. When they finally got their friend up the stairs, they now began to break through the ceiling. The typical Syrian roof was constructed of timbers laid parallel to each other, about 2 or 3 feet apart, then crosswise over the timbers. Sticks were laid close to each other, forming the basic roof. Upon this were laid reeds, branches of trees, and thistles. The whole thing was overlaid with about a foot of earth, which was then packed down to resist water. All told, the roof was about 2 feet thick. During the spring, grass flourished on those primitive roofs. Well, back to the story. These men were digging through a roof 2 feet deep. Whoa! Stop and think about this for a minute. What was the last... Maybe a good question is, when was the last time your faith was so relentless, so creative, and so sacrificial? We are living in some ruthless time as we go through all the things that we see in the world, whether it's a pandemic or the wars and rumors of wars. Many of us have been, well, we've been immobilized and maybe even paralyzed. Maybe another good so what question. Where is God asking me to have faith? Where is God asking you to have faith? Where is God asking me to have faith? Complete trust in God. Where am I being called to carry someone's mat? Faith that sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Well, back to our story. These four friends had a relentless faith. When they lowered their friend through the roof, we're told that these powerful words, when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "Sons, your sins are forgiven." Mark chapter 2, verse 5. Do you see it? Jesus saw it. Jesus saw their faith, not the paralyzed man's faith. Jesus saw the faith of the relentless friends and said to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven." I do not know if you know this, but, well, our little church has a long history of big faith. The Seed is a faithful praying church. I want you to know that never once in my 12, 13 years here as the pastor has anyone ever suggested that we pray too much. We have prayed, we have remained faithful, and we have witnessed wonderful blessings. It was not only a relentless faith, it was a reckless faith. "Son, your sins are forgiven." The word that Jesus used for forgiveness in this story, well, it's an interesting Greek word. The Greek word is aphiemi, aphiemi. And I'll spell it for you, A-F-E-E-A-Y-M-E-E. It has several meanings in Greek. It means to pardon, to dismiss, to leave behind, to abandon, to acquit, to cancel a debt, to leave unpunished, and to let loose. When Jesus sees the faith of the friends of the paralyzed man and the paralyzed man's faith, he says, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." What powerful words. What words of life? What words of healing? The verb tense that Jesus used was a present tense, which means that the forgiveness he is speaking of is a continuous, ongoing forgiveness that never stops and never ends. In fact, in verse 10, when Jesus says, But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." The verb tense that Jesus used is a present tense, active verb, and it means the action of forgiveness is continuous and ongoing. Jesus is saying, quote, I will continually forgive, pardon, dismiss, leave behind, abandon, acquit, cancel the debt, leave unpunished, and let loose your offense, your sins. Those are pretty powerful words Mark records here. Think about this as you come before God and ask for forgiveness. I want you to hear Jesus saying to you, "You are forgiven. You are pardoned. Your sins are dismissed. Leave them behind. Abandon them, for I have acquitted you. I have canceled your debt. You can leave forgiven unpunished. I let go of your offense, and so must you." Listen to what verse 12 says. He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." Enter right now into this scene. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." What a moment. The paralytic, illuminated by the dusty shafts of light from the gaping hole above, was leaping and whooping it up, praising God. His four friends had to be doing the happy dance on the roof. The crowd was oohing and aahing. Are you with me? Are you there? Now look at the Pharisees and the scribes. They are frowning, fretting, and figuring out how to get this Jesus character. C.H. Spurgeon wrote on the healed paralytic, and this is what he said. "I think I see him. He sets one foot down to God's glory. He plants the other to the same note. He walks to God's glory. He carries his bed to God's glory. He moves his whole body to the glory of God. He speaks, he shouts, he sings, he leaps for the glory of God." What a display before the wondering crowd. I wonder if the paralytic and his four friends danced, sang, and shouted down the street while the multitude clapped in rhythm. Think about this for a minute. This man was paralyzed. He went home. He carried something far more impressive than his mat. Paralyzed man carried a clean, forgiven heart, which was the greatest miracle of all. No guilt, no bitterness, no tension. Today, I want you, each of us, to be carried on our mat by our faith-filled friends and laid before the healing Christ. Are you in this story? Whatever you're struggling with, Jesus sees you, and your friends here, they love you. Hear the Lord speak to you. "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Friends, it's time for us to pick up our mats, head for home, and sing and dance. It's time for us to live in our forgiveness. So what? Let's wrap this up, Pastor Dave. Following the Civil War, Robert E. Lee was visiting in Kentucky, where one lady showed him the remains of what had been an enormous old tree. This tree stood directly in front of her house. She bitterly cried to General Lee of how its limbs and trunk had been shattered by federal artillery fire. Having poured out her anguish, she looked to the old soldier for a condemnation of the North. Following a brief silence, Lee responded, "Cut it down, my dear madame, and forget it. It is better to forgive the injustices of the past than to allow them to take root and add bitterness to your future. Memory is a marvelous thing, particularly when it brings us wisdom or joy. However, forgetfulness is equally marvelous, for it allows others to succeed where once failure reigned. Forgiveness does not always mean that we trust the individual in his weakness. This does neither him nor any of us favors. Forgiveness is the measure of putting yourself on his side, not seeking revenge, but success. It is the opening of opportunities' doors to say, try again, I'll not shut you out. This requires setting aside or forgetting the emotions which might halt forgiveness." Clara Barton, Red Cross founder, was asked if she remembered an especially cruel thing during her years before, and when she seemed not to recall it, a friend asked her, "Don't you remember?" "No," said Miss Barton, "I distinctly remembering forgetting it." Whew. I distinctly remember forgetting it. God has forgiven us. It's now time that we forgive others so that we can get on to a bright future. If some cruelty or something holding you back, forgive and live. So maybe I'll ask this. What is your mat of unforgiveness? Where in your life are you paralyzed? Do you need to forgive a friend, a coworker, a spouse, a relative, a mother, a father, a brother, or a sister? Do you need to forgive a school, a store, a doctor, well, the police, or some other institution? Where has unforgiveness paralyzed you so deeply that you are stuck, flat on your back, unable to get up and walk? Today's message is about faith and forgiveness. As we get ready to close the message and go home, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to, well, if you're driving or working, don't do that. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to hear the words Jesus speaks to the paralytic man as if Jesus was speaking them to you. There you are, laid on your mat before Jesus. You're paralyzed from fear or grief or anxiety, sin, disappointment, jealousy, anger, hatred, depression. I don't know, you name it. Jesus bends low enough so that you can see and hear him. What does he say? Hear these words and receive them. You are forgiven. You are pardoned. Your sins are dismissed. I want you to leave your sin behind. I want you to abandon them, for I have acquitted you. It is true. I have canceled your debt. I died on the cross, and you are forgiven. You can leave here today forgiven and unpunished. I let go of your offense, and so must you. Now hear what Jesus said at the close of the day. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Friends, it is time we fully understand what Jesus has done for us. It is time for us to live forgiven. It is time for us to go home shouting and singing. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for your great grace. We give thanks for your forgiveness that sets us free. Let us live as forgiven people. Let us forgive others, and let us forgive ourselves so that we can walk in the freedom of that forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace and live as a forgiven sinner. In Jesus' name we pray. God loves you. And so do I. Have a blessed week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.